Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Fun show coming up today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Nathan Davis on today's show. Head basketball coach at Bucknell. Also on today's show, Neil Coulong on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Jay Sorge from WTMJ in Milwaukee on the Packers. Tomorrow, Julian Davenport. I'm going to the Senior Bowl from Bucknell. And also coming up on tomorrow's show will be Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. So we have a lot going on. Steeler fans all up in arms about Videogate. Do you honestly, look, I realize you're fans, I got it. But do you honestly believe that has anything to do with the outcome of a game?
Oh, I don't think so at all. Like I said yesterday, if New England needs to use this as billboard fodder, then they're not as great of a team as I thought they are. And they shouldn't need that at all. But it's a fine line you got to draw. You know, I think there's some things that should remain sacred in the locker room between the team and the coach. And it's like, hey, once you let the media in, hey, guys, have at it. Then you can fire your phones up if you want, if that's your cup of tea.
A locker room is like a closed-door meeting. Okay? All right. Certain things should remain behind closed doors. And I realize now we have the ability to, with phones, tap into conversations, hear things we never heard before, be in places we never were before. But to me, a locker room's like a closed-door meeting. Do you want things said in your house, in your business, in the privacy of your own business, let out for people? Do you want things said in the privacy of your own home to be let out to people? Well, in sports, a locker room is that sanctuary. And then, you know, then the doors get opened up, the press comes in, but you're already prepared for it at that point. You're trying to say things to your group, to your people. But see, again, now we're going to go to how things are covered these days. The experienced reporter, you know, the Ed Bouchettes of the world and people like that, you know, the people who have been around the block know how silly and irrelevant this is. The people that will make a big deal of it are people who are trying to get clicks and things like that.
It's ironic you bring up Ed Bouchette. The beat reporters from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I want to say about a month or so ago they started this, and it's Ed and Jerry Dulac and a couple of other reporters are in
Jerry
there,
Dulac,
too.
Yeah. Another classic example.
Yes, absolutely. And Gene Collier and one of the other beat reporters.
Known Gene forever.
Yeah. They do a Facebook Live, but what they do is it's been pretty cool. When the Steelers played up in Buffalo, they set the phone up in the car and they did a Facebook Live chat for about 30 minutes. And they were just going around the horn talking about what they would expect the next day. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you're talking about four, you know, a lot of those old school beat reporters, you know, they're using social media. They know they have to just to kind of get the word out, but they, but obviously they're not in the locker room 3, 4, 5 minutes after a game for sure.
Yeah, but they know that, A, they do have to report that he did it. I got it. But at the same time, they know they're smart enough. It has nothing to do with the game.
But the cool thing is, even last year or the year before, I mean, that's technology we didn't have, and that gives people that are in that town and or out of that town that follow the team even more information that they can soak in leading up to the game.
You talking about from the reporters or from Antonio Brown?
From the reporters, yes.
Right. No, but I'm saying, though, but the locker room is like, yeah, NFL Films, I'm sure NFL Films was in there, but they'd edit that stuff. They wouldn't use it. There's a reason they wouldn't use it. You no longer get access. Now you got a player doing it. Again, there's certain areas that, as much as we want everything open, you want privacy somewhere, don't you? You want privacy within your own home. You want privacy within your own business. You want privacy, you know, in football, for example, in your own locker room or a practice field or whatever it happens to be.
I know after the America's Game of the Week on Fox, when they go to their post-game show, the OT, they'll go into the locker room and they'll probably play like a quick 30-second, 45-second clip of the coach and the cameras huddled around the circle of the players. And I would think that was probably, they would have to vet it and edit that out prior to prior to airing since it's not live.
And plus, they know the camera is there. Okay? The people that are giving the speeches know the camera is there. As opposed to, here would be my quiz for Antonio Brown. Okay, because I guess he's talking in the background. Are you even paying attention to what your leaders are saying?
I don't think he was. He was just staring at the fuse, staring at the phone, smiling.
Of course. Exactly. It's not going to matter one way or the other. Once you get smacked in the mouth in one of these things, you know, all that pregame talk goes by the boards. I mean, you know, it's the third quarter and it's third down and two. Do you think some guy's digging in the trenches saying, did you hear what they called us last week? They're sitting there saying, I hope I don't blow it on this play. That's what they're thinking. thinking about that stuff. But see, what you'll get is a lot of coverage of stuff like this. Okay, let's flip it to the other side. What's going to be covered in the NFC Championship game? Aaron Rodgers' estrangement from his family. I don't care. That's his problem. All right? That means nothing to me. I mean, I don't, you know, does it mean anything to you? How many of you, show of hands, know the Rodgers family? Show of hands, anybody? Then why should you care?
I would be more intrigued to hear his answer. You know, that amazing pass that he threw to Cook, the 30-plus yard pass to Cook with under 10 seconds to go. I'd be up to more. Yeah, how did you draw that up? And do you have one or more of those in your pocket against Atlanta?
Yeah. Well, supposedly they ad-libbed that one. But I don't. The veteran people who cover sports are really good at covering it, and they've been around the block. And they get it, and they understand what to cover. The people who have not been around the block and think that you're the lowest common denominator, so since you are the lowest common denominator, all you're interested in are, why is the Rodgers family estranged? Oh, and by the way, did you hear what the Steeler coach called the Patriots? Okay. Are you interested now? I think you have to treat your audience with a little bit more intelligence than that. I really do. I think you have to treat your audience with far more intelligence and far more integrity. Do you mention it happened? Yeah. Do you then properly point out it is irrelevant to the outcome of the game? Yes. Okay? I think there's a bigger lesson here. For example, let's take the lesson even further. For example, how would the Shikellamy coaching staff feel about things that they say in the privacy of their locker room and having one of the players put it on their Facebook page? I mean, it's a high school example, but who's to say they can't do it? They can. Or on Instagram or Snapchat or, you know, same thing with the junior high team. What's to say it's Susquehanna University that, you know, somebody doesn't put one out and all of a sudden it's out there for everybody? You won't get the same, obviously, play as Antonio Brown, but people around the around those programs that know about it. You don't want that stuff being done. And I'm surprised the NFL hasn't stepped forward and charged Brown a rights fee.
Of course, the topic was brought up this afternoon during Mike Tomlin's weekly press conference, and it sounds like that AB is going to get fined pretty heavily from the team, but it's not going to affect any playing time coming up this Sunday.
It should not affect any playing time at all. It shouldn't affect anything. Should he be fined? Yeah, he should be fined because, again, this is your closed door meeting. Right? This, you know, it's the equivalent of, you know, it's the equivalent of the head of IBM ripping Apple in a private closed door meeting, and some dude at IBM goes, "Hey, check this out on my Facebook page. Look what he said there today about Tim Cook." I mean, really? That's what it is. There's no difference between the two. It just was a football game.
Yeah, could you imagine if there was a private Apple meeting going on and one of the young bucks in the office would whip out his iPhone and they're talking about the iPhone 8 and that information gets leaked out? Are you kidding me? Okay, let's periscope this right now. A lot of inquiring minds want to know.
Or they go through what they think about all the Microsoft executives. You know, I mean, come on. Oh, can you believe that? Okay, does that make you? Does that then suddenly make what'll be the next thing? Windows 12, right? Suddenly, I know we're going to make Windows 12 even better because they made me mad. Really? They made me mad, so Windows 12 is going to be even better. See my point about all this stuff? All this stuff becomes mumbo jumbo. It's noise. It's all it is noise. Hey, you have a lot of teams now trying to protect their message and protect their noise. You know, because they're just trying to do that, because they're just trying to make sure everything's covered on this. But hey, one thing the Steelers won't have to worry about is Roger Goodell being in the building. He'll be at the Falcons game again. If the Patriots make the Super Bowl, is he going to miss that too? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia says, if you want a brand new 2016 Kia,
you can have them.
Sunbury Motors Kia will not stock any new 2016 Kias after January 2017. This means you'll win with the deepest discounts on 2016s ever. In 2016, a Forte 5 was $21,795.
Not in 2017.
Buy one now for only $16,993.
That's $4,802 off.
In 2016, an Optima LX was $23,405.
Not now.
Here in January, pay just $18,979.
That's a $4,426 savings.
A 2016 Rio 5 was $19,550 in 2016.
Not now.
Buy one for only $15,957. All new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. If you want a 2016 Kia, Sunbury Motors Kia says you can have them. Save thousands on your 2016 Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
and at sunburymotors.com.
Great to have you with us, Nathan Davis, next half hour on Bucknell Basketball. Then we'll transition to the Steelers with Neil Kulong at the 4 o'clock half hour, 4:30 half hour. We'll bring in Jay Sorge from WTMJ in Milwaukee. Coming up tomorrow, Wayne Larrivee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. On Friday, Eli Gold, the play-by-play voice of Alabama football, is going to join us on the show. It's not only Alabama football, but he also, Eli is also the voice of Alabama basketball. He is the, he also does a lot of baseball, loves doing baseball. And you'll never guess what his favorite sport was growing up.
When you told me this a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't believe it.
It's hockey. Big Rangers fan. In fact, a lot of people realize he did the, I believe, the Birmingham Bulls games in the WHA. And, of course, everybody knows him as the voice of NASCAR and things like that, which is an unbelievable broadcast. They do a great job with that. I mean, you know, I'll tell you right now, you know what I think is the toughest play-by-play job in the world?
I have to say racing.
Horse racing.
Yeah.
And the reason I say horse racing is that, you know, these guys, like, let's take Keith Jones down at Parks. Keith Jones down at Parks, a great guy. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to meet him. He's a great guy. And he gets in there every day, and the horses change up every race. Okay? And guess what? You can't be wrong. There's money riding on this. People have put money down. You can't be wrong. The last thing you have is that you're wrong, somebody tears up a ticket, and they're like, oh, no. Okay? So the pressure on them to always be right, and the horses change all the time, 9 races a day. You've got to be on the entire time, have to know exactly what you're doing the entire time, and I think that's the toughest play-by-play job going. There's more pressure on that than any other job in sports play-by-play. I mean, obviously, you say, well, how do you know Keith Jones at Parks? Well, Dick introduced me to him.
One day, you and DJ and the ponies at the park.
You know what? I did not lay a single dime on the table.
See, that does not surprise me.
Okay, it's just not me. But... I mean, well, the last time Dick and I went to any kind of race book, we did that at the Mohegan Sun back in November. But when I went down to Parks, there was a bridal shower, so I dropped her off. Okay. She says, okay, now think of something to do. I called up Dick. I said, hey. And Dick's like, yeah, let's go to the track. Perfect. I mean, he took me everywhere. Amazingly, he had access to everywhere. I mean, to the paddock, to, you know, I had a long talk with Keith, which was great. You know, every inch of the place he took me into. I was all over the place. And we finally had lunch with the Fleet Alex's owners. The Fleet Alex, of course, won both the Preakness and the Belmont, with Belfont's Jeremy Rose on board, as a matter of fact. And it was a fun day. It was a fun day. Every once in a while, I'll get a hold of DJ. Where are you, track? He's good at it. He's good at it.
So when would he start prepping for Kentucky Derby? Or has he already started?
Oh, Breeders' Cup. You watch, you know, the 2-year-old races in the Breeders' Cup give you some hints as to what to start looking for. But the primary Kentucky Derby prep races, I want to say, begin either the end of this month or the beginning of next month. Like the Florida Derby and things like that, which start opening up the door as to who might be good. You want to look at, you know, what's happening in Santa Anita, what happens in Arkansas, what happens in Florida, what happens in New York, like the Wood Memorial. Nathan Davis, next half hour, we'll talk Bucknell basketball.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Let's get Nathan Davis in, head basketball coach at Bucknell. you're not exactly enamored with your team's performance against Lehigh, but then it has to translate. What do you do with it after something like that happens? In your opinion, practice-wise and then game-wise, what did your team do with that?
Well, to say we were terrible would be an understatement. We didn't do very much well, and I think it's obviously I was upset. I think everyone was upset in the locker room with the way we played and performed. So it's a seriousness about it, obviously, that you need to prepare better for the next game. But at the same time, we came out of the game at 12-6. We were 4-1 in the league. Everything was right there for us. We'd obviously played pretty well throughout the year, so we just had to get back to doing that. We had to get better focused. We obviously have to improve things on the court, but it was a combination of being angry and not wanting that to happen again, and understanding that there's a long way to go and we've done good things, so it's not the end of the world either.
All right, now let's get to how your team then performed. Your points per possession, your efficiency numbers are really, really good this year. What are some of the factors, Nathan, as to why those efficiency numbers have been as solid as they are?
Well, I think it really comes down to we're getting good shots for the most part, and we get to the free throw line a lot. In league play, we're making more free throws than league play. I think we've made 98 free throws in league play, and our opponents only shot 93. It's hard to lose if you're doing that consistently.
That's exactly right. That's a big part of it.
Right. And so I think that the number of times in the game, the way we're making them, is really helping us with that. When you're getting fouled, you're getting at least a point every time down for making your free throws, which certainly helps that. I think we can do better. I think we have too many careless turnovers. We're right at, in league play at least, we're right at even in assist turnover ratio. I think we should be better than that. I think we have too many careless turnovers. I think our free throw percentage needs to go up. We have guys that typically make them that haven't made them yet in the league. I think those are going to start going in, and it could get better. And I think we can play faster, too. I think we can get up and down the floor a little bit better.
And against Colgate, for example, you can talk about how well you shot three-point percentage, but you can control your free throw percentage to a point. You only hit 58% in that game, so that really goes to your point. Look, you can be better at the line.
Right, and I think that we got like Stephen Brown goes 2-for-7. That's not going to happen most games.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, he's gonna make 70-some% of them. It's one of those things where we just had some guys go to the line that typically make them. Zach Thomas is shooting 80% on the year overall, but he's shooting 67% from the free throw line in league games. I mean, that's going to come up.
Right.
He's a good shooter.
So
there's some of that. You know that those are going to get better. So we got to keep getting in line. We got to concentrate and knock those down. And really, the biggest thing for us offensively is going to be cutting down on our careless turnovers. We're probably costing ourselves 5 or 6 points a game with some careless turnovers. We'll make a few more free throws. I think that'll get us another 5 or 6 more points. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement offensively in that respect.
Stephen Brown leads the team in assists at 91. But Zach Thomas, who's also your leading scorer, is second at 53. How much is it helping you when a guy with some size is your leading scorer but is also a willing passer?
Yeah, well, I think Zach's a multi-talented offensive player, and the way we run our offense, he's going to get a chance to have the ball in his hands a lot. So he's got to make good decisions. I thought there was a stretch early on where he was making a lot of careless turnovers. Really, here in the last week and a half, he's done much better. And a lot of ways, the way we play offensively is going to be how he plays. If he's making good decisions, taking good shots, getting guys involved, we're going to score more.
All right, now let's talk about inside-out. Have you been a good inside-out basketball team?
Yeah, we've been very good, and I think that's why we've shot so many more free throws and made so many more free throws than our opponents have taken. Nonafalance is a dominant force in there. He draws. He's shooting in league. He's shooting almost 68%, which is insane. You know,
he's shooting
63 on the year, and it's actually going up in league. He's going to draw attention. If we can consistently get him touches where he can score, he's going to draw doubles. And people are going to have to dig down. That's going to get guys open on the perimeter for more standstill shots, more opportunities to drive closeouts. So we continue playing through him, playing through DJ McClay when he goes in there, playing through Zach and post-up son, Nate Testino, take advantage of the matchups and force people to figure out how they're going to guard us in there.
The numbers inside the numbers. On the year, Nonafalon's 54% at the line, but in the 6 games in the league, is at 59%. In your opinion, does he have decent form at the line, or is there still a couple things that need to be corrected with him?
Well, I don't know that he's ever going to be a guy that makes 70-75% of them. His form form has gotten much better in the last year. He works on it. He makes probably, if you get into practice, he probably makes 70% of them in practice when we're shooting. Some of it's confidence, but I think that you look at where he was early in the year when he was shooting 35% the first three or four games to now that he's up to the point where he's in the 50s. He's been shooting them pretty well. And in the league, he had one game where he was 2-for-7. Other than that, he's been right in the mid-60s, I would say. And if he's making 60%, it's going to be pretty good for us because he's going to get to the line.
Yeah, when Joe Crispin was here at Penn State, he always referred to the free throw line as free points. And
right.
That's always the attitude he had about it. It's free points along the way.
And one thing that's helped, he's been making them, and it's clear people in the league started noticing that he's making them because, I mean, we played Navy, and he quietly just fouled them. And since that game, we've been making them. That hasn't been the issue as much, which is going to get more opportunity for field goals.
How have you felt about the spacing on offense for you, and have you done enough from the outside the arc, to make the spacing better?
It's something we've been working hard on. And some of it isn't even the spacing is good. It's moving on the penetration to create what we call windows to throw it to guys so we can find guys so we can throw good passes where the defense has to recover and you have time to decide whether you're going to shoot it or drive it again. But it's a work in progress. I think for the most part it's been pretty good. But it's another one of those areas that we are continuing to work on every day, and it's going to get better and better moving forward.
Okay, with your younger players, you have veterans that have been through this, but with your younger players, how much do you monitor practice now? We're at middle January, and you've played a lot of basketball to this point. So what do you think about your practice regimen right now? Is it now the time you start to think about how long the practice is, or is that still a couple weeks away?
No, we've been doing it here, really, and it's just the way our league schedule fell. I don't know if you knew this. Our first day off was Sunday. It was the first day off we had since Christmas. We haven't had, just with trying to keep guys fresh and all that, a lot of time to really, really practice. We've been going over stuff, but the amount of time we can go live and really work on things has been limited. So really, Monday was the first day after a day off. We had some time to do some stuff. Today we'll look to go, it'll be about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes trying to be fresh. Class just started, which is always a toll on their eyes when they're in class all day long and then have to come down to basketball. So we got to make sure that we stay mentally and physically fresh. So it's a lot of, it's harder but shorter, I guess is a good way to put it. We're not going to go as long, but we want to go hard while we're out there.
Does tape become even more important this time of year?
No doubt about it. We get in, we're really watching. If we're not playing, we're watching some sort of video every day, whether it's on ourselves, on our opponents, or both, trying to pick out a couple things here and there that we can really focus in on that day. You can't fix or work on six or seven things a day. You got to pick up two or three things that you want to get better at and really work on those things and emphasize those things. And if you keep doing that moving forward, by the end of the year, you'll have those 12 or 13 things that you need to get better at. You'll be much better at them.
What percentage of the players, in your opinion, have earned your trust at this point?
I think all 100% of them have really come on. I think that we've been making you don't win league games, and we've won four league games on the road. You don't win those games without playing pretty well and showing poise, and I think that we've done that. We've played with leads. We've played from behind. We've played back-and-forth games, and we've done enough to be successful and be in the position we're in first place. So I think they've all done it to varying degrees. We're starting to identify roles a little bit better now. We've had some of the younger guys are really starting to come on. So moving forward, it should be interesting.
And starting with Loyola coming up tomorrow night and then BU coming up on Saturday. What are your thoughts on Loyola, Coach?
Loyola's got a talented team. Andre Walker, the Jones kid, both can score in a multitude of ways. Walker had 35 last night. Jones had 8, 8, and 8 at the half. So they're a good group. I mean, you look at them, they've beaten Lehigh. They've beaten Boston University, two pretty good teams. They've taken some losses that, when you look at those two wins, you're kind of surprised by, but there's good parity in the league, I think. We're going to have to be ready to play. If we don't play well, we'll be in trouble.
Soika tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Hopefully everybody can get out for that. And I wish you the best of luck, and thank you, as always, for your valuable time.
I appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too, Nathan. Thanks. Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Next half hour, Neil Coulong on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Final half hour, Jay Sorge on the Green Bay Packers. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, this day in sports history. 1916, the PGA was formed in New York City. Will Chamberlain, then with the San Francisco Warriors, scored 67 points against the Lakers. 1989, Al Arbor of the New York Islanders won his 600th game as a coach in the NHL. 1995, the Rams announced that they would move from Los Angeles, or Anaheim, to St. Louis. Now they're back in Los Angeles. 1999, the Falcons beat the Vikings to advance to the Super Bowl for the first time in team history. The only time in team history the Falcons have gone. The Dirty Birds. It's this day in sports history. So, Mike Tomlin, by the way, regretting his comments. Comments regrettable, Antonio Brown selfish. Okay, fine. The only problem I have with there are several problems I have with what Antonio Brown did. I have no problem with what Mike Tomlin did or said. That's, again, that's in the privacy of your own, okay? That's, you know, your own conference room, okay? Like Tim Cook has a conference room, puts eight people in there. Does he expect the word to get out to everybody that what Apple's going to do next? I mean, come on. But the problem, the Antonio Brown thing is it is a continuing pattern of immaturity and selfishness and putting himself above the team. That's the part that is, I think, concerning for anybody that sees any of this. You know, every time you turn around, it's always been him trying to stick out from the crowd. It's always been him trying to stick out from the team. He had a nice game on Sunday night, but he's not the biggest reason why they won by a long shot. I mean, who had better games? Oh, I don't know, Pouncey, DeCastro, Le'Veon Bell, Bud Dupree. I mean, there's a long list of guys that had better games than Antonio Brown on Sunday night. Long list. And, I mean, my advice to him, tone it down. You know, be part of the team. Now, to the immature who cover this stuff, oh, it's going to fire up the Patriots. Really? It's the AFC Championship game. And a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Oh, thank goodness Antonio Brown came along. Now the Patriots are motivated. Now they've got something dangling in front of them. That Super Bowl stuff and going to winning the AFC, nah, that's not enough. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. I've never been a big believer in bulletin board stuff. I've always been, who cares, play. It's one of the great misnomers from this past season, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, was that Penn State was lackadaisical about the Pitt game and Pitt was more fired up. It's obviously something that has played out. Narrative's there. Everyone knows what the narrative, but nobody knows how motivated. I mean, believe me, Penn State was motivated beyond words to play that game. Just they got off to a bad start. And then when they finally overcame the bad start and had them on their heels, then they had, you know, it's when one of the injuries kind of crept up and got them in that game. Two big injuries crept up and got him in that game. But, I mean, you have what a lot of times what people know and what's reality, or what they think they know and what's reality, are two different things. Dick and Milton. Hi, Dick. How you doing?
Steve, good. I just wanted to, well, thanks for putting Coach Davis on again. I always enjoy that segment.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to tell you was not only add the Super Bowl to this list, I told some people today, I don't look at a calendar, the things I look at, you should appreciate this. The first golf tournament took place in Hawaii already. And even better than that, they're playing the Australian Open in Australia. So I don't need a calendar. I just know with the Super Bowl ending and those things happening, spring cannot be far away.
Oh, I know.
And
my good friend Bill Amin works the Australian Open every year, and I always get this text from him. Hey, Steve, it's 86.
Yeah,
you're killing me here.
For years and years, when that January rolled around, then I see that first golf tournament in Hawaii and then in Australia. Yeah. That's a sure sign of something better than winter, I guess.
Oh, and pitchers and catchers then report next month. And then we're going to start talking about spring training. And then we're going to start building up to the Masters. I mean, between now and then, we'll have the Pebble Beach tournament. We'll have the finish of the Australian Open. We'll have the Super Bowl. It's going to get a little bit warmer.
Yep, and as soon as they finish golf in Hawaii, they'll start moving to California, and then they'll keep moving east. Eventually, they'll be playing somewhere in, I don't know, Binghamton or somewhere.
Florida.
Connecticut.
So, yeah, suddenly in June, the Travelers happens in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Yes,
now
I know.
We know.
They always have one up there, I know. But now I'm going to start adding the Super Bowl, which kind of ends football in a sense, to that list. So.
Yeah,
anyhow,
it does.
Yes, I appreciate Coach Davis. And Penn State guys' basketball team, maybe they turned the corner a little bit this year. I enjoy them.
He's got more athletes. It not only is right now winning because they've won three of their last four, but they're an entertaining group to watch.
Yeah.
Now, this is a small thing, but it's something. Penn State this year, it's not necessarily winning.
It's competing now. That's important.
I mean, last year Penn State had 55 dunks for the season.
Yes.
They already have 66 this year. I mean, there are times where they're actually a high wire act. Well, I'm telling you, I've done this for 35 years. I don't remember a lot of high wire acts.
Yeah, they're enjoyable to watch. I know that. And then on top of that, you got the number one hockey team in the hockey night in State College.
Number one hockey team, and you've got at Carver Hawkeye coming up on Friday night, Penn State and Iowa in wrestling. And we're going to get Jeff Byers on this show before the week's out.
I mean, I've gone over the matches. I go to the matches. I see them. I really think Penn State will win this match. I really do.
I agree with you.
I won't be shocked if they would lose, but I'd be very surprised if they lose. I'll put it to you that way. I just think Penn State has a better chance of winning than if I look at each individual match. I mean, anything can happen, obviously. Wrestling's a funny thing, but...
Well, I think if they get bonus points from the guys that you would hope to get bonus points from, that should be enough to swing it. You know, guys like Nickel, Nolf.
Our guys are better than their guys. Like, Rutherford is just, he's got that kid's number. He's in his head.
No, exactly right. And no matter what he tries to do to counter what Zane Rutherford does, can't do it because Rutherford's just a step ahead of everybody all the time. And you and I both know that when he gets on top, have you seen a guy his size ride up top the way he does? I mean, it's brutal the way he rides people.
Ohio State, and that set the tone for his 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's brutal on top the way he rides. I mean, you're physically whipped just by how he rides you and how he arm bars into that neck.
Well, anyhow, thanks for Coach Davis. See you, Steve.
Hey, thanks to you, Dick. All right. Yeah, number one hockey team in the country, my man. Hey, don't run from it. Embrace it. Enjoy it. I would hope the team enjoys it. Then just go out and play. You already have the name Penn State in front of you to begin with, so you're already a marked team to start the night anyway. You're already going to get everybody's best shot because you are Penn State and you play in a building like this. So what's adding number one to it mean? Have fun with it. They've earned it. You ever think 5 years ago Penn State had the number one hockey team in the country? Pretty cool. Your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.